Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in the Union Edge. We appreciate that very much. And joining us now from Kentucky and the Kentucky Labor Institute and the Western Kentucky AFL-CIO Area Council, Barry Craig. Welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
Always a pleasure, Barry. Always a pleasure. I understand that down in Kentucky you've had some visitors.
We have indeed. I would like to start with a question for you. Here we go. What do the following folks have in common? Senator Elizabeth Warren, Congressman John Yarmuth of Louisville, former President Bill Clinton, former Senator and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, AFL-CIO Secretary Treasurer Liz Shuler, United Steelworkers President Leo Girard, United Auto Workers President Dennis Williams, IBEW President Ed Hill, UMWA President Cecil Roberts, Kentucky State AFL-CIO President Bill Londrigan, and former University of Kentucky National Championship basketball coach all have in common.
They all like barbecue.
That's possible. But the answer is they've all been down here campaigning for Allison Lundigan Grimes. I think, Charles, that speaks volumes. This much time, this much effort invested in this election, I think they believe, and the Grimes campaign certainly believes, they're going to win come next Tuesday.
You know what? In over the last week or so, I've been looking at this supposed abandonment of the Democratic Senate, the DSCC.
And they came back, this so-called abandonment. Of course, and again, we talked about that before. That was a mischaracterization. But they are back buying ads. And it was, I think we had some egg. I have to have an omelet on the faces of a number of the media talking heads in Washington. But I tell you, Charles, I've lived in Kentucky all my life. I'm 64 years old. I think back 6 years ago to when a Democrat named Bruce Lunsford ran against McConnell. It was pretty obvious, though we supported Lunsford, we being the Kentucky State AFL-CIO, it was pretty obvious that Lunsford was not going to win. You get nothing of that this time. There is an extra spring in the step of candidate Grimes. Her campaign staff is optimistic. The Democratic Party in Kentucky is optimistic. It is a real feeling that we may indeed ditch Mitch come Tuesday. And I give you, talking about crowd size, if you will, the other day Bill Clinton came to Paducah, Kentucky, near where I live. He and Allison Grimes were with him. The Governor Steve Beshear was there. Our former governor, two former governors, Martha Lane Collins and Julian Carroll were there. State Auditor Adam Eden was there. Secretary of State Jack Conway was there. About 1,800 people crowded his high school gym. Well, the other night in Murray, Kentucky, near where I live as well, Lee Greenwood puts on a free concert for Mitch McConnell. And according to the local newspaper, it drew about 200 people. I think that speaks volumes, don't you? Lee Greenwood, this famous country music singer, God Bless the USA, which is sort of the unofficial anthem, if you will, of the right wing in America, the Republican Party, only 200 people turned out for that. I think that's absolutely fascinating. Greenwood, by the way, as you know, has been an avid campaigner for Republicans for quite some time. He likes to call himself pro-military. But you know, Charles, you being a veteran yourself, I think you'll appreciate this. Lee Greenwood is 72 years old. I'm 64 years old. The war of our youth was the Vietnam War. Now, I didn't go to the Vietnam War. I didn't support the Vietnam War. I didn't think the Vietnam War was right. But Lee Greenwood, Mr. Patriot, Mr. I Love America, he had a deferment to keep him out of the draft as well. And he said, I would go if I was called. But you know, Charles, you can volunteer. He was a dad. He was a teenage dad. Well, you know, Charles, a lot of teenage dads have volunteered to go and fight in our wars. Anyway, I would invite your guests to have a little fun here, folks listening to us, to check out a very interesting website. It is from the New Hampshire Gazette newspaper. It is called the Chicken Hawk Database. Now, you might ask, what in the world is a chicken hawk? Well, I'm going to explain it to you. This is a quote from the website. When an American male or an especially belligerent female makes the challenging transition from late adolescence into early adulthood, he is faced with many decisions. One certain specific combination of choices will result in becoming a chicken hawk, choosing to support war while also choosing not to serve in the military. His motto becomes, "Let's you and him go fight. I'll hold your coat."
Right.
And you can find that at www.nhgazette.com, Chicken Hawks. And by the way, there's a whole roost of these long-in-the-tooth Republican Chicken Hawks from the Vietnam era. Dick Cheney, David Koch, Rush Limbaugh. By the way, Rush Limbaugh had a cyst on his tailbone. Look that up.
Yeah,
Bill
he had
Riley.
A pimple on his...
He did. It's called, he did. Check out Snopes.com. He had a tailbone cyst. Bill O'Reilly, Mitt Romney, and Ted Nugent. And there's a whole bunch more than that. And then, of course, we've got Dan Quayle and George Bush, who joined the National Guard to get out of Vietnam. Back in those days, Charles, we all knew. You get in the Guard, if you got pull, you get in the Guard, the Reserve, you don't go to Vietnam. All of us knew that anyway. But anyway, back to this Social Security thing with McConnell. After he gives this speech in which he cites his involvement in Bush's privatization scheme, guess what the reporters ask him right away? What are you going to do if you become majority leader? And what do you suppose he said? I'll get back to you on that. And the Democrats are all over this. The Grimes campaign is all over this. Now, Charles, this is a...
You know, Barry, I am thinking to myself, Mitch McConnell is thinking to himself, oh, damn, we ain't figured out a way we can make money off this yet. I'll get back to you on that.
And I'll tell you what, Charles, there are a lot of us seniors in Kentucky, and this is a very personal issue to me. I am on Social Security. In December, I'll go on Medicare. And I'll tell the world I want to keep Medicare and Social Security in Uncle Sam's good hands. I don't want this to be privatized. Privatizing Social Security, you know, it's like the fox guarding the chicken house. Leave my Social Security alone. And I'm telling you what, there are a lot of people in Kentucky who feel the same way that I do about this. This was a blunder, an incredible blunder. But we've talked about this before. And again, to use a football analogy, it's football season. Team hits the field, thinks they've got a cream puff. All of a sudden, they discover the other team is a very strong team. The other team pulls ahead by a little bit late in the game. And what do you start doing? You start making really stupid errors, fumbling the ball, intercepted passes. Right. And I think that's what I think McConnell's campaign is in utter disarray at this point.
Barry, let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's my understanding that Mitch McConnell is so upside down on his personal dislike.
Yes.
That he's below the president and he's below Congress.
Yes, he is extremely unpopular. Charles, he's never been that popular in Kentucky, but he wins with tons and tons of money, and he wins by demonizing his opponents. He's like a bully. He's used to getting his way. But we've talked about this before. From the very beginning of this campaign, the first time they met on the campaign trail at the Fancy Farm political picnic a couple of years ago, she stood toe-to-toe with him and got off that fantastic line about passing the kidney stone. She's not afraid of him, and it's obvious. And I think that has him frustrated. If you go back and look at the recording of the debate between McConnell and Grimes, she hung in there. She hung in there all the way and gave as good or better than she got. I think that's very frustrating. McConnell is used to just people just collapsing. He's Darth Vader. He likes that nickname. And I think that really has him off his game. She doesn't scare. And as we get close to the end of this thing, and by the way, this is the last time we'll be talking, I suppose, before the election, I think he's getting more and more frustrated, more and more nervous. Now, I'm going to tell you this. If you were Mitch, you think about this. If you were Mitch McConnell, his staff, and you hired this right-wing singer, I mean, he is the idol of these Tea Party types, to come and sing God Bless the USA down here in deep western Kentucky, which he considers to be his heartland, and you pull maybe 200 people, that's got to make you stop and think, what's going on here? So time will tell. I've said this before, I don't bet on sporting events or politics, and I don't make predictions on sporting events or politics, but I'm certainly optimistic. Let's just put it that way.
Let me ask you real quick, Barry. We got about a minute left. His lack of comments on Social Security.
Yeah.
Just how damning is that for him?
I think it's very, very damning, Charles. I do. It's a matter of trust. Aren't elections always about trust? Do you trust this candidate to represent your interests in on the school board or in City Hall or the courthouse or in the legislature in Washington? It's a matter of trust. And I don't trust this guy with Social Security, and I think a lot of people don't trust him. Here again, we know he pushed for privatization in 2005. Now he won't tell us. He won't tell us what he's going to do. And I think that that doubt may cause people who are kind of on the fence between Team Mitch and Team Switch to perhaps fall off on the side, on our side, on the side of Team Switch.
There you go. Barry, anything else we should know about today?
No, it just that, again, stay tuned for this election. We've been talking about this for low these many months. It's going to be the headline-grabbing election on next Tuesday night. Grimes has a tremendous ground game, a tremendous get-out-the-vote effort, so we'll just have to see how it all turns out.
Absolutely.
I'd like to leave you two words, though. Ditch Mitch.
There you go. Barry, thank you very much. Barry Craig of the Western Kentucky AFL-CIO Area Council. And I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.
Hello?
Hi, I found your name on the internet. I'm going through a foreclosure. Can you help?
Sure, it's simple. We'll just leverage your transitory expenditures into a fiduciary trust, and we massage those assets before your money goes into my private account.
I don't get it.
If you're facing foreclosure, who should you trust? The HOPE Hotline is a free resource connecting you with HUD-approved housing counseling agencies, available 24 hours a day, who can give you the information and clarity you need. Call the HOPE Hotline at 888-995-HOPE. That's 888-995-4673. Brought to you by NeighborWorks America and the Ad Council.
While cutting molding with a 12-inch dual compound miter saw, while holding a newborn baby in your arms, when face-to-face with a congregation of alligators, with the ball in your hands and the entire freaking season on the line.
There are a million places you'd never consider texting, so why would you do it while driving? NASCAR driver Casey Kane here, asking you to please stop the text, and together we can stop the wrecks.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Get the message at stoptextstopwrecks.org.
We first opened about 10 years ago. We were small, just a few of us, but it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but things started picking up. We had big plans, but in our wildest dreams, we never thought we'd have this much work. Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared.
I feel like I'm choking.
Prevent your child's next asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like fish sticks. Filets, I get, but sticks? Maybe we can just compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with Brie?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Members of the American Postal Workers Union handle more than 165 billion letters and packages a year. That's about 34 million pounds of mail every day. Ever wonder what this costs you as a taxpayer? Millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions? Not a single cent. The United States Postal Service doesn't run on your tax dollars. It's funded solely by stamps and postage. Brought to you by the men and women of the American Postal Workers Union.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in the Union Edge. Join us now from Workers Independent News, Doug Cunningham. Doug, welcome back.
Hey, Charles. Good to be with you as always. Happy Wednesday to you.
Happy Wednesday to you, too. You are actually in the field out there getting things done. But what's going on?
Yeah, we're not in the field yet. I'm in the WIN office, Workers Independent News office, for our meeting. No, we do this thing every week here, of course, with Workers Independent News, and you, of course, with Union Edge, do some really important work. So I wanted to talk a bit today about labor media and how important it is. I mean, at Workers Independent News, for the last 12 years, we've been doing a daily newscast around the country, on stations all over the country, about workers, about unions, about the workers' movement, about workers' rights, and all the issues that working families face in this country every day. And on the Union Edge, you guys, of course, every day for years now, have done a similar thing with talk radio, getting information out there about what's happening to working people. And labor media these days is more important than ever, and it's getting more and more scarce and rare that there's actually labor media that's focused on workers and what's happening with workers. So I just wanted to encourage people today to support labor media wherever you find it, the labor Union Edge, the Workers Independent News, any other labor media that you can identify for support sure needs the support, because the story that's being told in our mass media, the corporate-owned media, about working people and what's really happening to working people and what the real effects of policies are on working families in this country, that's all being filtered through a corporate lens and a corporate prism, and it's not necessarily a true picture of what working people are facing and what they're doing in response all over the country. So I just wanted to put in a word for labor media today, Charles, both for what you're doing and for what we do at Workers Independent News.
Doug, you're making me blush here, man.
It's important. I mean, you know, I know, because I worked for years in non-union radio jobs before I came to WIN and became a member of SAG-AFTRA. And I know from firsthand experience there is enormous pressure on media outlets all over this country not to do, quote-unquote, too many stories about labor, not to anger advertisers who are corporate advertisers by telling the truth sometimes about what's happening to working people. So I know that kind of pressure exists out there. And despite the fact that some folks in America would have you believe that the media is all liberal, the media is controlled more and more tightly by major corporations who control the corporate mainstream media in this country, and thus the audience, and thus the narrative that audience hears. So if you have to do your duty as a citizen in our democracy, which people are going to be doing in this election, for example, you have to be really informed, properly informed, really truly informed about what's truly happening to people out in this country who are working for a living and what our policies are doing to them. And I think that's just more vital than ever before. So
well,
want to talk about that.
Doug, you know, let me ask you this. I mean, Rush Limbaugh, a member of SAG-AFTRA, is on about 600 radio stations every day. Glenn Beck, a member of SAG-AFTRA, on about 300. Sean Hannity, a member of, guess who, SAG-AFTRA. is on about 400. So let's say that's somewhere in the neighborhood of about 1,300, 1,400 radio stations right there. You know, you've got Mike Huckabee and some others out there that are, you know, they gave Mike Huckabee 300 radio stations to start off with, and that wasn't enough for him. So, but long and short of it is the number of radio stations in the United States that carry progressive or more progressive talk show programs is about 100, 150 all told, not including low power FMs. I'm talking about commercial radio stations. There's a reason why the right wing puts their people out there on as many radio stations as they can, and they buy up as many radio stations as they possibly can. Radio works. Radio works well. And when you have the discussion, it works extremely well. When you
more than 90% of the American people listen to radio every day.
Right. But when you take the time and opportunity to vilify the opposition and you call them names and you do those things, you lose your sponsors. And that's why, we have seen the effectiveness and the reach of right-wing shock jocks diminish. And they're going to continue to diminish because they keep stealing each other's audience off of each other. And they just get more and more radical as they possibly can. And, eventually it's going to come down to one person who's ultra-radical and their audience is going to fade away and die.
And good riddance to them for the right wingers. But things like the story we did today in Workers Independent News about the Metropolis Honeywell plant that does uranium conversion, and the company decided in its infinite wisdom it's going to lock these workers out while they continue to try to operate the plant. There was a gas leak of uranium hexafluoride there. Mm-hmm. And to talk to John Paul Smith from the local there about exactly what they saw about the leak, while the Nuclear Regulatory Commission was reporting it was just fine, it was okay, it was contained, they were watching the clouds of gas escape from the facility, and they pointed out in that piece, I don't know if you read that in mainstream media, God bless them if some mainstream media did the story, but those kinds of stories are not the kinds of stories you're going to see every day on a daily basis in this country unless you have independent media who's not afraid to take on issues that face working people, working class people in the country, and that's the point, that in order to get us there, we need that kind of media, we need that support, we need our brothers and sisters in established labor unions to step forward and support that kind of labor movement. Institutionally and individually, but we need support from our listening audience as well, because this is an important story that we're telling, and if people are told misinformation and they're not told the truth, then when they have to make decisions on key public policy issues or key decisions at the ballot box, they do so either in a misled fashion or ignorant of the real facts underlying these issues, and that is destructive to our democracy. So labor media, a talk radio that's focused on labor, that is important to our democratic fabric of our society, so that we have informed citizens who can then go about and make intelligent decisions about what our future is going to be in this country.
Absolutely. And so here's what we're going to do, Doug. We're going to raise $85,000. We're going to get you to come work for us, and we're going to have a lot more fun this way.
I'm open to offers.
There we go. We appreciate that.
Yeah, I know around the country, a lot of public radio stations are doing pledge drives. Let's do a labor radio pledge drive, Check us out. Support the Union Edge. Support us at Workers Independent News at laborradio.org.
Absolutely. And, Doug, we appreciate all the things that you're doing. And, my goodness gracious sakes alive, just a little bit of background. The Union Edge is picking up two additional stations here pretty soon. One in State College, Pennsylvania, and the other in Wheeling, West Virginia. So we're excited about that, and we're going to continue to grow, and we're going to continue to support all of our friends that are out there, that's for sure. In the meantime, Doug, any final words for us today?
I just wanted to keep people aware that we are going to be covering more election stories as the election draws closer, and we're going to have Leo Girard, president of the Steelworkers Union, talking about the green economy and effects of Chinese on that green economy future for workers. So stay tuned to us. We're going to have more information, as we always do, day by day leading up to the election and beyond. And thanks for supporting us. Thanks for listening to us. And again, I would urge you to visit our website at laborradio.org for Workers Independent News.
There we go, Doug. We appreciate it. Doug Cunningham, Workers Independent News. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.
This is a Radio Labor News update recorded on Wednesday, October 29th, 2014. I'm Marc Boulanger. In a move that would have been thought unthinkable just a few years ago, the largest labor union in South Africa has announced that it will break away from the African National Congress, the ANC, to form a new working class party. The National Union of Metal Workers of South Africa, NUMSA, released a statement October 28th saying it will now focus on building socialism and working class consciousness directly amongst workers. NUMSA has 340,000 members. Since apartheid ended in 1994, South Africa has been ruled by an alliance between the African National Congress, the South African Communist Party, and the Congress of South African Trade Unions, COSATU. NUMSA, the Metal Workers Union, is a member of COSATU. The move away from the alliance by NUMSA comes after a successful strike against car companies in July and amidst widespread charges of corruption against the government of Jacob Zuma. A British labor researcher who uncovered massive labor abuses by a company in Thailand has had the first of four charges against him dismissed by a Thai court. Andy Hall wrote a report in 2013 for a human rights group called Finwatch, in which he described labor abuses by the Natural Fruit Company, a pineapple exporter. The abuses included child labor, excessive overtime, poor health and safety provisions, and illegally low wages. The company responded by bringing four charges against Hall. Yesterday, October 28th, a court in Bangkok dismissed the first charge against Hall concerning an interview he gave to the TV network Al Jazeera. The court ruled that Hall had been unlawfully interrogated. However, he still faces three other charges involving defamation and computer crimes, which could result in millions of dollars in fines and many years in a Thai prison. I talked to Andy Hall and asked him why he thought the charges had been brought against him.
I've been working in Thailand now for over a decade, and I think recently the methods which I've used to protect migrant workers, particularly from Myanmar and Cambodia, I think have become more effective. And I think that this lawsuit is an attempt to silence me, to wear me down, to make me tired. And it's also the work that I've been doing recently really has revealed so many abuses, or the systematic nature of abuses against migrant workers, and how often migrants are abused in Thailand. And I think that, you know, this is something which the Thai government and Thai employers and the Thai export industry, they don't want people to know.
Demonstrations in support of Hall are being held today in Washington, Finland, Netherlands, and the UK. Teachers in Arabic-speaking regions are meeting to discuss the state of education in their countries, gender discrimination, and government attacks on labor unions. Radio Labor's senior correspondent C. Marie Ainsborough reports on one such meeting held just recently.
Education International, the global union federation for teachers, has completed a forum for teachers in the Arab region. The 25 participants who attended the forum came from 9 teacher unions in Egypt, Jordan, Kuwait, Morocco, and Tunisia. The participants identified gender-based violence as one of the major problems faced by teachers in their countries. They agreed to have their unions join the campaign against violence to women being conducted by the International Trade Union Confederation. The ITUC is the organization which represents teacher unions at the world level. Other issues the forum participants addressed included how to combat attacks on workers' rights by anti-union governments and companies. Education International will be helping their unions develop action plans to promote respect for international labor laws in their countries. This is C. Marie Ainsborough reporting for Radio Labor.
In other news, the UK government has announced that it will no longer support search and rescue operations which prevent migrants from drowning in the Mediterranean Sea. The country's foreign office says the rescues encourage more people to attempt a sea passage to Italy. In the past few years, thousands of workers and their families have attempted to reach Italy to find work and a better life. Hundreds have died in the attempts. The UK government is hoping that letting people die at sea will discourage others from trying. And that's it. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.